Ezra chapter 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, get your Bible. Hold up and say, got it.
Got it.
All righty. If you don't got one, get one. It will aid you in your work of the plan of God in your life. Ezra chapter 1, first three verses. Bible says, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heavens, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any one of his people among you, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. Lord, I come before you this morning, Lord, and as we come into your place, Lord, to work your plan in our lives, Lord, we have heard, Lord, how we can become sidetracked. Lord, I pray your presence this morning, Lord, that you would indeed be with us, Lord, that as we put our focus upon you, you would put your focus upon us, Lord. As we return to you, Lord, that you would return to us, Lord. And Lord, we would put a concerted effort in our lives, Lord, to line ourselves up on you and to find your blessings in our lives. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Everyone said,
amen,
amen, amen. We got these two young men right here getting ready to step into the plan of God for their lives. It is it's going to be a tough week for us. Friday we go and we take Joe to school and leave him there. Now he's coming back a week later, but, 2 weeks later. Wow. Tough week for us. It's been a tough week last week. A lot of work to be done around here. Things are breaking. I don't know. Mike and I did a lot of work around here. Other people have done a lot of work too. New drinking fountain back there. Came in yesterday. Door was busted. Equipment's breaking. Rebuilt the grill. We had an event movie night on Friday night. It was working so good. Pastor Carlos said first time ever he had to turn it down because it was getting so hot. Working on the things of the Lord, the Christian Ed, and we had movie night on Friday night. We had, and I highly recommend that you guys would get Do You Believe? It is just, it's a good movie. And we're going to watch it again because I was doing all kinds of stuff, working with the kids and just doing stuff. So I already watched it once, but if you get it, it's at Redbox, a buck and a quarter, $1.50, whatever it is, get it. I guarantee you will not feel ripped off. But we had a crowd on Friday night. We had upwards of 60 to 70 people. We had kids. We had moms putting out some ice cream right there. We had all kinds of moms showing up. And at one point, the kids are kind of playing around, and I brought out and I don't even know what you call these things. A Max Liquidator, okay? And what you do with these is you put them in a bucket of water and you fill them up with water. And all these wonderful little children, most of the kids we had were just sweet, like little Willow. And just so sweet until you put one of these in their hands. And that darling little child became a maniac, and all those kids, basically ranging from kindergarten to fourth grade, had one thing in mind, was to attack me with the Max Liquidators. Little girl said, can we get you? And it was so hot. I said, you can get me. And it was like there was two teams, me against all of them. And I think they won. Finally, I had some of the guys tip over the buckets, man. We got to get rid of this water. I'm going to drown out here. And but it was a great time. You could see the plan of God worked out in the place of God. An outgrowth of the food ministry and the distributions that we're doing and the the clothing swaps and the fundraisers and the co-op and all that stuff. Been doing meals now over vacation on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Distributions with the co-op on Wednesdays. Distribution from Food for Less on Mondays and Fridays. And we're seeing all these folks coming. And as I mentioned last week, that they are 90% Spanish only speaking. And Pastor Carlos back there started, upgraded his, or revamped, restarted his Spanish class. Had four of these moms, I don't know if they're in that group, had four new moms come on Wednesday night. And it is this new vision or this new plan of God where we would be able to reach this community and reach kids. You know, her parents speak English, but there's so many kids just like her that their parents only speak Spanish. What I talked about last week in this plan of the Lord, there we go, is translations. That we would have somebody sitting in the library hearing the message in English, translating into Spanish, and we could even broadcast that through an app, and everybody can just sit on their phone with their earbuds in and hear that translation sitting right here. We can do it almost for free. Plan of God, reaching the people in this community. Pastor Carlos telling those ladies, it's not about Catholicism, it's not about anything. We're just going to talk about the Bible and what God wants to do in your life. And they're excited about it. Hey, Pastor Carlos? And so as we see that, we see God's provision in God's place for God's plan. Amen? All right. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're talking about the second temple and the building of the second temple. Last week, we talked about the 70 years, the destruction. I mean, to have a second temple, you got to have a first temple. Make sense? And the need for a second temple is because the first temple was destroyed. It was destroyed because of the idolatry of God's people, because of their sin, the sins of the kings and the leaders and the priests and the prophets would sell out to anybody who wanted to and prophesy whatever they wanted to have done. And so he said, I'm going to do away with this. I'm destroying the first temple, and you will be in captivity for 70 years. That 70 years was for the 70 years in which they did not practice a Sabbath year where the land would lie fallow and would have a rest. And he said, over these 70 years, your land, the land, my land, the promised land flowing with milk and honey will have its rest. Now, we're talking about 539 is the end of the 70th year. And Cyrus the Great conquers Babylon, all right? And he comes in and to fulfill, we talked about, read today in Ezra chapter 1, to fulfill the message and the prophecy that Jeremiah had given about the 70 years, God moved on Cyrus's heart and says, okay, you can go back to Jerusalem and you can build a temple for the God of heavens. Not bad, eh? Brand new king of Persian king, says the Jews can go back. I'm even going to give them all their money back. I'm going to give them all the stuff that they took out of the temple, and you can go back and you can build that stuff. So 50,000 Hebrews returned to Jerusalem under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Joshua. Zerubbabel and Joshua with the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, mainly prophesying and leading them. All right, so we've got a governor, we got a priest, we got some prophets that are there, and they returned 539 BC. Now, if you look at BC, I got a little timeline here for you. And I like history. You might hate history. This will not last too long. Just kind of hold your toes and it'll be gone. But the dates are confusing, and they're confusing because, see, they walk backwards because we're kind of going from B.C. to A.D., right? And I wanted to show you this timeline. I want to show you how it kind of clicks. 539, Cyrus says you can go back. 537, they're right there. 50,000 people go back. They get money. All their friends, all their family, say, hey, you're going to go back. Here, take some money. Here's an offering. Go build God's house. They get back there, and in 1 year, they rebuild the altar. They got to get there, get established. All of Jerusalem is just tore up. So they get situated, and they build the altar, which is not a big deal. It's just like a great big barbecue, All right? And they got a fire and they're throwing the stuff on there. So, but the priests are back making the sacrifices. People are offering up their offerings for their sin. They have fellowship offerings. Everything is clicking, right? So then they decide, hey, we are going to start rebuilding the temple itself. And they lay the foundation, and the neighbors, two main guys, and some other ones jump on, Sanballat and Tobias, Ammonite and Horonite, all right? They say, hey, we want to help. We want to help. Hey, we want to help you do all this stuff. And they say, no, God does not want us to allow you to participate in the rebuilding of the temple. And these are bad guys. And remember, back in Deuteronomy, the Lord said, don't have anything to do with the people that are in the land. They're going to lead you astray. They're going to cause your sons to sin and to follow foreign gods. Don't do it. And so finally, they get a little bit smart after 70 years of captivity. They say, no, you can't do it. And they begin to thwart the efforts at rebuilding the temple. Right here, it says, Ezra chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Then the people around them set out to discourage the people of Judah and make them afraid to go on building. So what they got is Sanballat and Tobias, they start coming against all the people that are doing it. They send counselors, they hired counselors, they hired lobbyists to go to Babylon and to come against and say, hey, you don't want to let these Jews do what they're doing. It says, counselors to work against him and to frustrate their plans during the entire reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, and down to the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Okay? Let me click back here for just a second to this timeline. So what we've got is they rebuild the altar in 536, and in 536 they lay the foundation and construction stops because of that effort by Sanballat and Tobias. Now, Cyrus is still king. They still got the open door to rebuild the house of God, and they're not using it. Cyrus is killed in battle in 529. So that's 7 years. 7 years of inactivity where they had the top dog on their side. But these lobbyists and these people that are coming against them, and Tobias and Sanballat, are so effective that construction on the temple stops. And in our lives, we can be in the plan of God. We can be in the place of God. But there will always be those that would come against us. Those that would bring frustration. So they're so effective. Cyrus is killed, 529. His son, Cambyses II, becomes king. He reigns, their co-regent, in 529. All the way till 22 BC, and a letter comes out, no, you cannot rebuild. So now, and these Babylonian kings, the Persian kings, you go against their orders, they have this habit of killing you. So now, and you see they got these larger gaps there, and I'm trying to show you the periods of inactivity, and it comes down to 536 BC, down to 522, got like 18 years. Of inactivity where the Lord's house, nothing's happened. 522 BC, Darius comes to power. Our time today, we're going to take a look at the second year when Haggai prophesies and Haggai speaks to God's people. 520 BC, in the sixth month. They do all the math. This guy's smarter than me. It was August 29th of 520 BC that Haggai speaks and rallies the people of God. And in 4 short years, God's temple is completed. All right? That's what we're going to be taking a look at today. They complete God's plan, they complete it in God's place, and they come against the distractions and those that would stand against them. The title of today's message is Moving Through the Clutter. And the people of God, you know, they got distracted. I don't know if it was really hot, But some people just can't, hey, man, it's too stinking hot, man. Some people just get tired. Maybe there's a soccer game on, football game on, baseball game on. You're going to be working God's plan in God's place. We got to move through the clutter. Amen. Amen? All right, let's take a look. All right, Haggai. Again, this prophecy, most of chapter 1 is one prophecy by Haggai. There's four prophecies that are in the book of Haggai, two chapters, that go from the first month, seventh month, ninth month, and 11th month of year 220. It's very cool. And then Zechariah, he's got a little four verse prophecy that hits in month 8. So you got these things that are just clicking through these two prophets as the Lord retools his people to be about his business. Are you tracking with me? Are we okay? There's no more dates. There's no more timelines or anything like that. So if you're freaking out, you can just, okay, it's just going to be like normal. All right, here we go. Haggai 1:1-2. In the second year, of course, unless it's in the text. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, this is after 18 years, these people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. I don't think God's happy with that. Amen? This is a message for the leadership. We're talking about Zerubbabel. We're talking about Joshua. They are the people who have led. They are the leaders who have led the 50,000 people to Jerusalem. Two, for one purpose. God's place is Jerusalem. God's plan is to rebuild his temple. Amen? Are you tracking with me on that? Now, what God is saying is, all you people have made all this sacrifice. 50,000 people, a lot of them did not come. A lot of them stayed in Babylon. And they're saying, hey, man, we came. We're down for the Lord. We didn't stay in Babylon. We left all the action that we had going over there, and we are making the big sacrifice. And God says, you're not working my plan. He says, you come to my place, and you're working your plan. In fact, you got a political change that's going on in the leadership in Babylon right now, and you got an opening that you can now begin to rebuild the temple. It's been 18 years, and you're saying, nah, we don't think so. We got other stuff going on. It's not time to build God's house yet. They had given the edict to stop work, Ezra chapter 4, 21. Issue an order to those men to stop work so that this city cannot be rebuilt until I so order. This is a predecessor to Darius. You got a brand new king. There's an open door, and they're saying, oh no, we're off the clock. We're doing our own thing. And God says to his leaders, these people say it's not time for me yet. God will bless you in his place, in his plan. They weren't getting blessed. They weren't moving into God's plan. They weren't moving into his opportunity. They're in the place of God, but they're not in the plan of God. You can be sitting here today in God's place, but not in God's plan. That's what happened in Jerusalem, 520 BC. Let's keep going. God raises the issue of priorities. He says, then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? You guys are spending all your time building your houses. In fact, I took an offering. We talked about the offering last week. It was $21 million. $21 million given 18 years previously. There was resources to build a temple, to get things dialed in. There's no temple, and there apparently is no more money left. Well, we didn't want to waste all that wood, so we just kind of took it to our house. That paneling that was meant for the house of the Lord is in my living room. God's saying, really? Your houses are so nice, and my house is a ruin. And he says, I got an issue with your priorities. Ezra gave him cash. Ezra gave him all the parts, the items, the valuable items, gold and silver and all that stuff that came out of the temple. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says, the Lord, the God of heavens, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he's appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judea. You 50,000 people have come to build that temple, and there is no progress. What are your priorities? How good your houses look and how bad my house looks is a display of your priority. I do not believe God is very happy. He goes, what's more is you use my stuff. My house is a ruin. It is a display of values. We've had display of values in the United States in the last month to 6 weeks. Started off with the ruling by the Supreme Court that all, you know what's crazy is we voted in this state twice that marriage would be between a man and a woman. Not a whole lot there. A man and a woman, that's it. Say, oh, no. It doesn't matter what the people say. We are going to go a different way. And I don't remember exactly how long it was, like 5 weeks ago. It seems forever ago because there's so much stuff going on. 5 weeks ago, Supreme Court said, rule of the land. Homosexual marriage everywhere. It's a display. It's a display of the values of this country. The values of the leadership of this country. We also had, it hasn't been approved yet, but we had the deal, what do you call the thing we had with the treaty that we want to do with Iran? That we're going to have inspections, but we can't be in the inspections, and Canada can't be in the inspections, and they're going to have inspections, they got to be notified. It's this lame treaty that we dreamed up. We had to give them all this money so that they can go ahead and do all this stuff. And what happens is we end up taking two steps closer to Iran and two steps further away from Israel. And it's a display of our values. And I tell you what, you read the book, you want to be lined up with Israel in the end. Can I get a witness on that? But our leaders, they're not worried about what God says. The last thing, possibly the most tragic of them all, is the continued funding of Planned Parenthood, even though they're selling fetal tissue for money. That is heinous. It is a display of the values of our country. We used to be blessed by the Lord. We were God's place. We were working God's plan, and we were receiving God's blessing. Same place, entirely different plan. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
It's a display of values. Let's continue on. God puts his hand against his people. These are the 50,000 who 18 years previously had left all their property, all everything, and said, I'm down for the Lord. It's like CJ going, I'm going back to the orphanage. Giving all I got, I'm going to live in the desert. I'm going to be out there, just out there for the Lord. And they get, I'm not saying this is what CJ's going to do, but I'm saying what these guys did, they got there, they started working for themselves, and the hand of God was placed against them. He said, you're in my place, but you're working your plan. I'm not going to bless that. See, God blesses his plan in his place. You can be in his place working your plan, and you're working your own blessing. Amen?
Right.
Says here, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. I got two different sections of scripture here. I'm going to read it all to you. There's a little slice out of the middle I'm going to come back to, okay? So this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. That's why I was going back to what's happened in the last 5-6 weeks in the United States. Give careful thought to your ways. I mean, do we deserve God's blessing or do we deserve God's cursing? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thoughts to your ways. You have planted much, but it hadn't worked out for you. Planted much, harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're never warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Skipping down a couple verses to verse 9. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. This is God talking. What you brought home in your little bag, I blew it away. It's kind of like, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, I got this little thing. And it's just like, it's gone. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Oh, it's gone. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and on the mountains, on the grain and the new wine, the oil and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. Things are just not paying off. You know people like that? Everything they do, just nothing works out. Take a look at our country. I'll tell you what, things are falling through the cracks a little bit. It is a display of God's displeasure when our leadership thumbs their nose at the plan of God, the values of God. Say, we don't need God. They give greater respect to the Muslims than they do to the Christians. People are working hard. Man, you're planting, you're doing all this stuff, but it's just not working. Farm is not working out. But it's not about your effort, it's about your plan. See, God will run a curse on you. To Adam. Adam, he said, curses the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. And that curse that was placed upon Adam is visited again to God's place in Jerusalem because the people are not working God's plan. Their curse goes beyond their labor. Their curse goes beyond their effort. He says, man, you raise up. You know what's lousy? You can relate to this. A raw or an unripe cantaloupe. Can I get a witness on that? Does it not just taste like a piece of wood? You know, it's like, ooh, here's this nice cantaloupe. Oh, yeah. And you slice it up. And you're like, nothing. Nothing. That's what God had done. Because you can eat all day. You're not going to get full. You can drink. You ever drink. And you just can't slake your thirst. He said, no matter what you do, even if you raise something up, it's going to be like that cantaloupe. Tastes like nothing. It's not going to do anything for you. Why? Because you are in my place, but you're not about my plan. He says, whatever you did, whatever you brought home, I blew it away. God brought a drought. We can relate to a drought. Amen? He says, I brought that drought. I'm not saying he brought it to California. We're going to talk about it in a minute. But he did say, I brought the drought. I am the reason you're not finding any success in your lives. Because you're supposed to be here for my plan, and you're not. He says, my house is a ruin, and it is a display of your priorities. All right, let's keep going. Okay? We okay? All right, here we go. God says, time to make a change. This is the part that was in between that I didn't read. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go to the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I might take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Time to make a change. Time to take your eyes off of your needs, take your eyes off of what you're trying to do, off of all your diligent work, because it's not paying off for you. You need to get your eyes back on me and get your eyes back onto the original purpose that you were called to come back to Jerusalem, and I would then, well, he doesn't say it right here, but he says, I'll be back on track with you guys. You want to be on track with the Lord?
Amen.
Lord's on track with his plan and his place. You be in his place on your own plan, and he's not on track with you. He says, you guys got to get on track with me. Get up into the mountains, get the wood, get the stuff, start building me a house so that I can take pleasure in it. He goes, I want to celebrate. I'm sorry, he didn't say that yet. He's going to say that next. He says, I want to celebrate the same way you celebrate your houses. He says, I want to take pleasure in my house. I want to shift in your effort. He says, I want to take pleasure in my house in the same way that you take pleasure in your house. And this is called anthropomorphism, which is where the Bible takes a human attribute and puts it onto the Lord. And he does that, the writer does that, and the Lord does that so that we can understand. He says, I want to celebrate. I want to be blessed. I want to take pleasure in my house in the same way you take pleasure in your houses. And we go, oh, that's what you're looking for. Because if you come home and my wife comes home and our place is thrashed, how many of you ladies just love to come home to a thrashed house? Right? What do you feel like? Oh. But my wife says when it's clean, she says, oh, I just feel so good. It's just so nice. That's the feeling God wants about his house.
Amen.
Now, it's more complex than just coming home to a nice house. What God is really looking for is his people dialed into his plan. He goes, I want to celebrate you. I want to celebrate your focus and your priorities. I want it to happen in my house. I want to be honored in my house. I don't want to be, one thing, you ladies like to come home and have it be a nice house. You men, how do you like being disrespected in your home? Roki, you love that? One of your sons goes, I don't want to do that, Dad. It's like, oh, everything comes to a halt, right? Right? God says, I want to be honored in my home. I want you to come in. Why? Because he is worthy of all honor and praise. Amen? We get a picture of the throne room of God, Revelation chapter 4. Where the multitudes are surrounding the throne of God. The Bible says, the 24 elders, they fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. You know, Elisa was singing earlier. He says, I want you just to raise your hands up and say, worthy are you, Lord. The Lord takes great pleasure in that and takes great joy in that. Amen?
Amen.
We do have a drought in California. Amen? I did some research on it this morning. It has been called, based on some assumptions and things like that, it's too technical to go into right now, the worst drought we've had in 1,200 years in California. This is a progression of the drought from 2011 to 2015. Exceptional drought through much of California. God says, I brought drought to Jerusalem because you're not on my plan. God has not spoken to my heart and said, this drought is from me. But I'll tell you what, California is not working the plan of the Lord. This state leads our country away from the Lord. Might be the place of God, but no longer the plan of God. God blesses his plan in his place. And sometimes, as he did in Jerusalem, the Lord will curse his place when it's not on his plan. It's an issue of priorities. I don't think anybody thinks that California is going to have a come to Jesus party next week. But I tell you what, if they did, I bet you God would take notice. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's keep going. People get on God's plan, because that's what happens in Jerusalem. God is talking to his people, talking to Zerubbabel and Shealtiel, verses 12 through 15. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of God's people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the Lord. And Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you. I'll tell you what, if I want to hear anything from the Lord, that's what I want to hear from the Lord. I am with you. I was talking to some, Pastor Dave was asking me about some stuff. He goes, what do you want to get out of this? I want to get a well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Amen. I am with you. Well done. I am looking for that type of a message from the Lord. He says, you get on my plan and my place. I am with you all along the way. Amen. I don't care about the Persians. I don't care about the Amorites, the Ammonites. All I got them. All I need to get is you. I need you, and everything else is downhill. Can I get a witness on that? I don't know what your priority is today. Many of you come into God's place to work his plan, and I celebrate with you. But if you come in here today out of some ritual, or because you think that just by being here you get God's blessing, there's a second, that's good, that's a start. But there's a second step, and it's a step that Zerubbabel and the people of God took. He said, I'm with you. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. 24 days from the initial prophecy of Haggai, everybody is redirected. They are no longer focused on their paneled house, but they're trying to get a paneled house for the Lord. Amen? Amen? And so God shifts gear. God says, I am with you. I will be with you. There was something that he had put in God's people that wasn't getting accomplished. And he stirs up Zerubbabel and he stirs up Joshua so that that can come out. And you're here today, God has put something in you. And there is clutter in your life. There is distractions around you. There are enemies of God that are bringing distractions in your life. And it's not time for God's house to be built. I got too much to go into my house. And your effort and your labor so often comes to nothing. And it's amazing when you line up on the Lord, all of a sudden, those paths are made straight. You have to climb so hard. Why? Because God is with you. Amen? I'm going off a little bit. Is that okay? Tommy says it's okay. Okay. Now, I told you about Zechariah, right? Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3. Zechariah's prophecy is in the eighth month. Talking about the sixth month, right? He says, therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you. It's like it's an attaboy. They're 2 months in. Don't give up. I'm with you. Return to me, I'll return to you. Keep it up. Keep it going. You're doing okay. It'll be okay. The distractions are still there. They still want to get them off track. It's because God's with you because you got opposition. Amen? If you didn't have opposition, you wouldn't need God. You could just do it on your own. It's going to be hard. God's place, God's plan gets God's blessing. The purpose of God is going to take their effort. He said, man, they became obedient. They turned away from their houses. They went up, had to go get wood. You know, Zerubbabel and Joshua or some of the leaders, they had to go to Darius's court and say, hey, man, we want to get approval to build the temple. We got all this stuff. And it all starts coming up roses. Because why? Because God has stirred up their spirit. God would stir up your spirit. So many of you walk out here going, whoo, Lord is good. Oh, yeah, I'm on God's plan. Man, I'm in his place. And you get outside and you go, oh, what was that? Because God's enemies come and bring confusion and distraction in your life. Got to move through the clutter. God blesses his plan in his place. God will bless you as you get on his plan. And you know what? His place is not just here. Your house can be God's place. Get about his plan. Don't be worried about the paneling, okay? All right, I'm gonna just kind of throw it out there. They complete the temple in 4 years' time. 4 years. Got the altar, got the temple. That's a temple that Jesus walked in, folks. 4 years, hard work. You're going to be about God's plan. It's going to take effort. It's not just, you just roll into it. CJ going down to live on the orphanage. Joe going up to live at Bible college. It's going to take work. You don't just back into it. Me and Mike, man, it's hot this week. Fixing this stuff up. Try that new drinking fountain. You're going to like it. And we got one downstairs. If anybody know how to get in touch with Jackie? She wanted one downstairs. Let her know. I put one down there for her because she asked. All right. Last thing. We jump to the end of Haggai. Now give careful thought from this day on. This is the ninth month. Okay, so we start the sixth month. He's got a little thing on the seventh month. You got Zechariah's thing on the eighth month. This is the ninth month of 520 BC. All right, so it starts on the sixth. It's 3 months later. And there's actually one more on the 11th month, but this is what we're looking at. Give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, that's a unit of measure like grain or something like that. A heap of 20 measures. When they actually measured them out, there was only 10 because God's hand was against them. When anyone came to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there was only 20. God struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not turn to me. I'm telling you, man, this drought that we're in, be nice to see this whole church filled up. Saying, man, I'm turning to God. I don't know if this drought is from God or not, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to put my eyes upon him. And see, the church is all across California. See signs going up to Central Valley. Pray for rain. Let's honor God. Let's say, God, take your hand, Lord. Put it behind us, not in front of us. We're about you. We're about your plan. He says, consider that I held up the rain. From this day on, this 24th day of the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? No. Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. I wouldn't mind hearing that too. God's paying attention. Place of God, plan of God. Facing the challenges. Sanballat and Tobias, they're arrayed against God people. You read about it in Ezra and Nehemiah. They send the women in. They get the men off track. They even pay off the priests. The enemies of God, once the temple is completed, Nehemiah goes back to Babylon. He comes back and they are right in the temple running stuff. The enemy of God right in the temple of God ripping off God's people. There is a challenge. We must be on guard. It will take our effort. Amen. And you can't be distracted. You got to move through the clutter. And God says, today as you put your eyes upon me, I will bless you. I got a picture of this for you. Lisa, you can come up. Is it hot out there, by the way? It's blazing up here into the sun. Just look at me under the lights. I'm sweating. Just look at me and feel nice and cool. All right. This sings, if you can get a picture of this, okay? And I'm going to have to go, I'm going to go up to this one. This is the sixth month, Elul, all right? It's all of harvest, it's harvest time. This is when, right here, is when Haggai begins to start. Oh, you know what? I got a little laser printer. Oh, yeah. Not a printer. Pointer. Is that it? Oh, yeah. Learn something new every day. All right, so here we got. First day of the sixth month right there in Elul, right? And Haggai begins to preach, and the message starts going out, and he stirs the spirit of Zerubbabel. And on the 24th day of the sixth month right there is when they start working. And if I didn't have this up here, it would not resonate with you, but the seventh month is the month of feasting. And the first day of the seventh month is the Feast of Trumpets. So they start working on the 24th day. They got a week. They work for a week. And the first day of the seventh month, they start a week-long feast, the Feast of Trumpets. There's no work. There's just a focus on God. Amen? And can you imagine how much richer that feast is now that they know that they have redirected their lives, no longer worried about their paneled houses, but worried about God's paneled house. Amen? So they start to work, and then they stop, and they celebrate God. And then on the 10th day, they've only been working for 3 days, and there's another feast. It's the Day of Atonement. And there's no work done on that day. And they have the Day of Atonement, and they have the sacrifice of the Lamb. And their sins are atoned for. And they go back to work only for a couple of days, because on the 15th is the Feast of Tabernacles. And there's a whole another week off. And they put a focus on God. And the richness of that seventh month. Oh, God. He says, return to me, I'll return to you. I am with you. Let's get this back on track. And then, you see, Wrong. Here we go. I got to find my laser again. You got the eighth month. Grain planting. Just took the month off. He says, what? Consider all your work. Hadn't come to nothing. The drought. Got no rain. Mildew. Blight. Whatever you took home, I blew it away. What do they do in the eighth month? They plant. It has not worked in the previous years, but they're planting. Why? Because they have faith that God is with them. And then in the ninth month, if you can read that, the first rains. The first rains, right? So, what are they doing? They're planting the seed. Oh, God, I'm believing on you. Is there any seed in the barns? No, they got to go buy seed. They plant the seed. There is no rain. And on the 24th day of the ninth month, in the month of the first rains, God says, hear this. You got nothing left. I'm going to bless you. And the rains come. And the crops come. And they complete the temple in 4 years. God says, you're in my place. You're working my plan. I'll bless you. Amen. Lord, I come before you this evening, this morning, Lord. Worship team can come on up. Lord, you are so good. And Lord, we are so bad. And Lord, our country is so bad. Lord, we are surrounded by sin. Our leaders grab on to the enemy's plots and plans. Our leaders turn their backs on you, Lord. But this morning, Lord, we come. Lord, we come and we say, Lord, you are faithful, Lord. Lord, I want to work your plan. I realize it's going to take great effort. I realize someday it's going to be 100 degrees, Lord. But Lord, however hot it is, I want to work your plan. I want to be in your place. And I want to live a life blessed by you. I hope and I trust that the Lord is just speaking right now to your heart. Say, my child, my son, my daughter. Some of you are saying, you're doing so good. You're doing so good. Keep it up. And you know you're doing good because you've been getting blessed by God. See, Mike, and my efforts this week, I just felt the blessings of the Lord. Some challenges, blessings of God. Maybe you're here this morning and the Lord is saying, it's not working. You know it's not working because you got nothing left in the barn. You got nothing left in the cabinet. You got nothing left in the fridge. You got nothing in your gas tank. Not even got a registered car. You're working hard, but nothing's working. Lord says, my child, I've called you to my place. I need you to surrender your plan. Grab my plan, and I'll bless you. I'll bless the work of your hands. I'll bless you when you eat. I'll bless the rain to come down upon you, and you'll get a well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, I pray for each person that's here, Lord, that person that's celebrating this past week, past month, past year, you work in your plan. Lord, I pray for that person who has been shining the panels in their home. I pray, Lord, a message come from the Holy Spirit this morning. Time to shift gears. Grab onto your plan. In Jesus' name, everyone said.